Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Monday. Can the draft just hurry up and get here already?
Amen.
I mean,
let's do it. Get over with.
Our buddy Brett Kern, former Titans punter, joins us on the show. Do you agree with us, Brett? Can the draft just hurry up and get here?
I mean, that would be great. At least it's Masters week.
It is. That's true. That's a good point.
If you're into that kind of thing, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I am. I just like it kind of hit. See, I like the years that it's around Easter, you know, like Easter Sunday and watching the final round is just, I don't know, there's something magical about that. But
Easter Sunday, you know, that's it being late this year kind of throws things off, you know. But I like it when it times up well, but this year is definitely a little different.
Yeah. So what do you make of the report that came out that, you know, the Titans brass, they go to Colorado, they go to the pro day, they see Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter, they have private workouts set up for them, and then decide, hey, you know, we've seen enough, we got all we need, let's just cancel that. I take that as a, hey, we don't want to waste your time, we've made up our mind, we know what we're doing. Do you take it that way too?
Yeah, I mean, the interesting part is, like, I guess when you're looking at different articles and different headlines, some say that the Titans canceled, and I noticed that some were saying that both parties agreed to cancel, right? So I don't know what happened. I don't know what the conversation was, but I think that's interesting that some just came out and said, yep, Titans canceled it. And others say that, hey, you know what? They had a conversation, and they agreed to cancel it. So I think that's kind of an interesting way to go about it. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if the Titans did just cancel it, I mean, you either gearing up because Cam Ward's your guy, or you're trying to make it look like Cam Ward is your guy. And because I look at Pittsburgh, like, what if Aaron Rodgers doesn't sign with the Steelers? what are they going to do? Because they're in that pick zone where it's like, yeah, you barely made the playoffs, but, you know, here you are every year. They're kind of consistently picking from that same spot, right? Like, what does Pittsburgh do, right? Are they the ones that go try to trade for Kirk Cousins because they don't have a quarterback? Well, I mean, they have Mason Rudolph, but still, right? You know, so I just wonder if the Titans are really just trying to if they are in love with Cam Ward and that's their guy, then great. They got their quarterback. But, you know, are they really trying to kind of make it look like this is our guy, and try to increase the value of that pick?
Follow me on this next one. Because I think this is kind of important when
it's
you're
Monday.
I know, right?
Don't get too crazy.
I think this is important when you're looking at a prospect, and I'm curious of how you kind of view this as a player. But I think there has to be a balance in drafting a guy for his production, for what he did in college. You got to, you know, look at the stats and see that he was a productive player. But also looking at the traits that he possesses, the skills that he has, and how you as a staff can coach that and develop that at the NFL level. Do you find that to be a fair statement?
Yeah, I think a lot just depends on, I mean, you think about how many, let's just take quarterbacks, for example, right? I think that's the easiest position to look at. you know, how many quarterbacks get drafted early in their careers are wasted just because they go to a system that doesn't fit. Maybe the talent's not around them. I think so much just depends on where you go, like, who's your coach. You know, what's the talent around you? What system are you in? Like, so much has to, like, to click, right? I mean, you look at somebody like Tim Tebow, right? Extremely productive college player, goes to the pros, right? Goes out to Denver. Would it have been different if he would have gone somewhere else in a different system, different coach, right? Well, I mean, we'll never know, right? But I just look at that and how many guys get drafted early, and you think of, like, man, if he would have gone maybe 15th to here, like, not everybody gets the luxury of Jordan Love, excuse me, or Patrick Mahomes, right, where you go a little bit later. You're under Andy Reid, right? You're learning under Alex Smith. You're learning under Aaron Rodgers and that system in Green Bay, right? I just think so much depends on where they go, the system that they're in. Like, is there consistency in the coaching staff, right? Are you going to be, well, year one, I had this coach and this coordinator. Year two, well, they got fired. So then it's this coach and this coordinator. Year three, oh, you know what? Same thing happened, right? And they're going through three or four coordinators, you know, on their first contract. And that's just extremely hard. You can have all the production in college and all the traits, but if you don't have consistency with your coaching staff, with your system, it's just really, really hard to succeed in the league.
Well, it's funny, real quick, you kind of lived that with a system, because I think Ken Whisenhunt ruined Jake Locker. I think he just ruined his confidence because Whisenhunt wanted you to conform to his system, not build his system around you. And I mean, he started to do that with Mariota, and I think Amy noticed that and ultimately got rid of him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at like Baltimore and Lamar Jackson, right? Because if, you know, you have Joe Flacco as your starter and Lamar Jackson's your backup, those are probably the two complete opposite quarterbacks, right, that you could have in a quarterback room, right? But when Joe was done and then Lamar came in, it was, you know, his first year or two, right, just kind of getting into a new system. And then all of a sudden, look how Baltimore, you know, over the last, what, four, five, 6 years, 5 years, right, how they've conformed to the traits that Lamar's really good at, right? And now you add Derrick Henry to the room, and it's just like, man, this is crazy, right? And so, you know, you do have those coaches that are able to, like, evolve and change systems, or, like, you know, hey, I have A, B, and C player, and they're really good at these things. How can I make this offensive work, right? Or even on the defensive side, right, depending on the personnel that you have. And I think you have some coaches that are like, hey, this is what I do. This is what I run. I'm going to, you know, square peg in a round hole. If you can't do it, then you're out of here, right?
We're talking to Brett Kern on the People Show, the Chase Big Joe Show this morning. Brett, I'm a big fan of the TV show Rockford Files because I'm an old soul. And whenever something was so simple, Jim Rockford would always say, it's just too simple. The Cam Ward thing, I'm just telling you, it's too simple, Brett. It's just too simple. I think something massive is working behind the scenes, and it's driving me crazy, and I don't like it. I just think it's too simple that they've already decided on Cam Ward.
Oh, I'm with you. Like, I mean, like I said, I mean, you could say, hey, Cam Ward's their guy, and like that's it, and you can stop talking about it. But there's just something, I don't know, there's just something that's just a little fishy about it, and nobody really knows except for the people in that front office.
Yeah, and I think if they walk up there on that Thursday night and say, Varmore pick, we take Cam Ward, I just feel this way about 75% of Titans fans going to be like, oh, man, because they need so much, and I don't think Cam Ward is the answer. I hate it because I've now become emotionally, mentally invested in this, and it's driving me insane.
You're all in. Well, I mean, here's the other thing, too. Like, in previous drafts, like, at what point has, you know, whatever team is picking first, at what point have they come out and been like, yep, this is who we're drafting. This is who we love. Like, it's been, and I guess you could say, like, the Titans have, you know, they've invested in on Cam Ward and obviously doing all the things, the workout, the, you know, going down for his pro day, right? All the things that you typically do. I guess I just feel like in other drafts, it's maybe it's already been declared by now, maybe, right? Or it's been very clear cut of like, yep, hey, the Browns are going to pick this dude, right? Or, hey, you know what, Cincinnati, yep, they're going to pick Joe Burrow. Like, this is, we don't need to talk about it. All right, who's picking it to, right? And I feel like it's been very clear cut. And I think, like, if you really loved Cam Ward, which they might,
right,
on the other standpoint, like, why would you hear draft, or why would you hear trade talks or the potential of trade? Or, well, you know, if there's an offer that we can't, if like, he's your dude, right, you're not even talking about any of that stuff, right? I don't know. Maybe not. But I think that's where it leaves the hook, right? There's a little bit of that bait in the water that you're just like, but there's something, you know? There's something.
Yeah, exactly. You know, in 15, it was pretty clear that Tampa was going to take Jameis Winston. You guys take Mariota. Right. 2011, I know Cam Newton went number one, and then Jake went later on, and Blaine Gabbert was up there, and you kind of like, oh, okay, you kind of knew something. But it wasn't like this, like you're talking about. It wasn't like, oh, this is our guy. Amy's traveled to meet him and all that. I just think it's too easy, and they need so much, and they have the ace. They have the ace where they could truly rob another team who's desperate to come up and get that number one pick. I just think if they make that announcement with Cam Ward, what all they need, like, ah. But if they can trade down, gobble up draft choices, have five in the first 120 picks, I'm telling you, that's right. How you rebuild a team.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, I mean, you know, I've gone back and looked at past drafts and all that stuff, and you look at kind of how Detroit, you know, Detroit did it, and, you know, multiple first round picks and the guys that they got in that draft, in multiple drafts, you know, back to back years was just, I mean, it's like, whoa, you look at this guy, you know, he's a starter, he's a Pro Bowler, he's now an All-Pro. And you have all these picks, and they hit on him too, which is obviously another important part, because you can have five in the first, 100, and that's great, but you got to hit on them, right? Five of those guys, like probably four of them need to be day one starters, and your fifth needs to be a pretty heavy contributor, right? So that's the other thing too. If you're able to get that, like the guys that you pick, man, they got to come in and make an impact pretty early on. Not necessarily being like, hey, these guys got to be all pro, they got to be Pro Bowler, but I mean, if you can get some good production out of those guys, that'd be huge.
We're talking to Brett Kern, former Titans punter, here on the Chasing Big Joe show. So I want to ask you this, because you've been in situations like this over your career of going into a season where, you know, the coach is the coach, but I wouldn't say that it's set in stone that he's going to be the coach beyond this year. And I think it's fair to say that there's that thought with Brian Callahan. How do you navigate that as a player, of hearing some of that noise that maybe your coach is on the hot seat? Is that something you think about, or do you just try and put it out?
I mean, it's not great. It definitely leads to some awkward moments at times. Like, conversations at breakfast and lunch tend to be a little bit more quiet. and I think it's not only the head coach, but you look at like the whole staff, right? And so it affects everybody, right? It's not just the head coach getting fired. It's the whole staff too, you know, depending on what they have left contracts. And so, that goes down to the tension in the running back room, because, you know, if the head coach get fired, then the running back coach is gone, right? And so special teams, it's just, things just become a little bit more tense. But, you know, really at the end of the day though, guys will have conversations, and, you know, I remember the time when, you know, they were talking about Coach Malarkey getting fired. And here we are, like, hey, we're trying to make this playoff run. Like, this is so confusing. Like, would they really fire a coach, you know, for playoff games, right? Or get into the playoffs, and then we win the playoff game, and like, wait a second, he's still on the hot seat? Like, I just don't understand what's going on. And so that's when you got the whole balance, you know, when you get that balance off where, you know, you hire a coach, then you wait, and then you hire a GM. Like, there's a certain order to things, right? And I think that helps, you know, the whole organization flow, right? But when you get it out of order, it tends to get a little chaotic, right? And so, because this guy's not my guy. I really wanted to hire this guy, but when I got the job here, he was somewhere else, and, you know, this isn't the coach that I want. You know, it just becomes really clouded and, chaotic. And so, but really at the end of the day, like, as a player, like, you can have those conversations. And we did. I mean, we had plenty of them, whether it's at breakfast, lunch, hot tub, you name it. But at the end of the day, like, we all have our jobs to do. And so whether, you know, it's Coach A or Coach B that are coaching the Titans, like, my job is still the same. Like, I had a job up there to punt the ball, to not hit touchbacks, to hit it directionally. And whether it was Coach A or Coach B, my job didn't change. And so that's what, you know, a lot of guys, you just focus in on what you're supposed to do, because, you know, if a new coach does come in, the film from the previous year is obviously still on tape, and that coach is going to come in. And now here you are almost having another tryout for this new coach.
Former Titans punter Brett Kern with us on the Chasing Big Joe show. Brett, in 2015, I was doing a live sports report before the draft for Channel 4 at Nissan Stadium. And I was standing next to Kendall Wright and Justin Hunter when they announced the Mariota pick, and they were not happy. They denied not being happy, but I had it on tape. I wasn't going to argue. I would have loved to have seen you on tape in 2022 when you found out A.J. Brown was traded. Where were you, and what was your reaction?
I was at home watching the draft with my son. And I just remember, like, getting a text message on my phone, and it's like, hey, we traded – I think it's from another teammate. It's like, hey, man, we traded A.J. And I think I was just speechless. I think I was speechless for probably a good minute. And then
you were, because, like, it took you a few minutes to respond to me.
I just didn't know what to say. And I was speechless. And then I thought, yeah, this is the NFL. This is the business that is the business. So things like this happen. And, I'm still kind of speechless, talking about it, at this, you know, this far down the road, but, that's the business. That's the way it goes.
Did you see, I don't mean to interrupt you, were you watching and you saw Vrabel's reaction to that?
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing it all. I'm just like, yeah, this is crazy. But, you know, that's the way it is. And, you know, you just hope that, you know, with the trade and all that kind of stuff, that whoever we picked could, you know, come in and you knew, like, it wasn't going to be AJ. Like, when whoever we picked, obviously it's being Traylon, like, you knew, like, all right, Traylon, you are not AJ Brown. That there's only one AJ Brown. There's only one Traylon Burks. Like, just go be you. Go be who you are. And, yeah, I mean, that's just how the business works. Stuff happens. Some of it's obviously huge and public news, and some of it's kind of low key. But, you know, this stuff, it's just, I don't know. I felt like at that point when I saw that, I was like, oh man, I've seen it all now. This is the cherry on top.
Oh, yes. Yep. But that is the way it goes sometimes. Brett, thanks so much as always. And we're so much closer to the draft. We'll talk next week.
It's one more week, right? And it's Masters week. It's a good week.
We're going to get there.
No, we're going to get there eventually.
Yes, we are. Thanks, my friend. We'll talk next week.
Yep. We'll see you. I'll take care.
Brett Curran, former Titans punter, joining us here on the program. Always appreciate him. We'll react to some of that and much more coming up next. You can weigh in at 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's Chase and Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.